Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. I just want to start out this broadcast with a fresh prophetic bulletin from Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries, as he's responding. You need to understand Rick, and as if he could be understood, but he's a deep intellectual who surrendered his intellect to God. Mm-hmm. He's loyal to Jesus Christ to the nth degree. He's been taken up into the heavenlies to the point that he's had those encounters, knowing, being able to communicate to us and a lot of others of how awesome heaven is and how beautiful God is and how our future is just wonderful, mm-hmm. and how we're supposed to operate here. And he has those around him that gives, you know, not only godly counsel, but counsel for government and business and all these different things that are going on. So it's just a good, well-rounded word. And so I just want to go ahead and let you hear right now. This is Rick Joyner from Morningstar Ministries. He's a special, it is a special bulletin on the Boston Marathon bombings. Listen to this perspective.
The Boston Marathon bombing. What's that got to do with repentance? I believe it's got a whole lot. And I want to just draw out some facts. Just a few minutes ago, learned even more than this. It looks like the FBI is already on to the fact that this was not just the work of two brothers, but it's a pretty large cell. Okay, there's a whole lot more starting to come out. I think you've been warned about these things for a long time. What does this mean? Where are we headed from here? Now, the FBI had known about the radicalization of these, at least the older brother, for 2 years, but could not stop him. Why? Why? Because we have radical Muslims, Islamic extremists, who are known to be members of the Muslim Brotherhood, doing sensitivity training at the CIA and FBI at this time. I'm not making this up. These are proven members of the Muslim Brotherhood who have even been flaunted by our government. The Muslim Brotherhood had on its own website, its mission statement is to destroy America and Western civilization. They had posted on their website for a long time their strategy for doing it, which was basically to use political correctness and our own constitution against us. I'm not making this up. This is proven in U.S. federal court. Now, CARE came out and made some statements against me, so I have a right. I have a right anyway. I'm going to stand on the truth and I'm going to speak the truth. CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, was named as an unindicted co-conspirator, a terrorist front organization by our U.S. federal court. Now, what an unindicted co-conspirator means is that they've got all of the evidence to indict them, but it's not the court's place to do the indicting. It's the attorney general or the prosecuting attorneys. But they're saying, when they say these are unindicted co-conspirators, we've got all the evidence in the world, do your job and indict them. Our government would not indict them. Guess what? We've got CARE, a proven terrorist front organization dictating policy in Homeland Security, in our FBI, in the CIA, in our Defense Department, doing sensitivity training. Now, our friend, General Boykin, you know, it was big news, national news last year. He was invited to speak at West Point, the U.S. Army Military Academy. CARE protested, and they withdrew their invitation. This is bizarre. This shows how far things have gone. And listen, they've gone further. I'm going to, as David said, be yet more vile. Just a few weeks ago, it was again highlighted who our Homeland Security considered the biggest main threats, terrorist threats in America. You know who they named? Right-wing extremists, members of Second Amendment rights groups, evangelical Christians who believed in the end-time prophecies of the Bible, and military veterans. When was the last time evangelical Christians flew planes into buildings? Consider this. Where have 99.9% of all terrorist attacks come in the last few decades? One group, not even named. How blind could you possibly be? Where's Islamic jihadist on this list? Not a single mention. That's the mindset of our Homeland Security. Why? Because they have been given sensitivity training. General Boykin, you remember when they caught that terrorist cell in North Carolina a couple of years ago? Jerry called me. He was one of their main targets. He was their first target to kill Jerry. The FBI called him and told him, do you know this terrorist group was going to kill you and then they were going to go attack Quantico Marine Corps base and, well, you know, form an attack there? Jerry called me and he asked me a question. He says, listen, you're my pastor. Should I tell my wife? I said, you better tell your wife. Are you kidding me? I mean, Jerry had a hit on him from Osama bin Laden. And I said, you better tell her. He called me back a few minutes ago. He said, I told her. I said, what'd she say? She said, let them come. I'm packing. But this whole thing illuminated. Jerry had been a head, you know, at one time he was the head of covert operations for the CIA for 3 years. Then he was an assistant secretary of defense for intelligence at the Pentagon. And he said, well, look, we know where all these terrorists are. We tag them when they come in so we can track them. And they do this sometimes. They know terrorists are coming in, but they do it to follow them to see who they're relating to and find out where these cells are. And then it found out in this, and Jerry found out during this conversation that they had lost track of all the terrorists that they led into the country. Because Jerry just said, well, I'm not worried about that. You guys know where everybody are. And they said, no, we don't. He said, we can't track them anymore. He said, we're forbidden to track these terrorists anymore in our own country. Jerry was sent a copy of the memo that had come out from Homeland Security, which we immediately got into the hands of some of our congressmen who did their best to try to make an issue out of this. I tell you, that one courageous little lady, Michelle Bachmann, who's under so much attack all the time, I tell you, that is one of the most courageous little ladies. We need to pray for her. But she and others, our own congressmen here, jumped on and tried to bring it out, make it public. The news wouldn't touch it. Only one who touched it was Glenn Beck, I think. Here's a memo. We've still got copies of this thing from our own Homeland Security forbidding the FBI to even investigate Muslims for, you know, any kind of, activity that might be suspicious. Now, isn't the name of the FBI investigation? Federal Bureau of Investigation. They were forbidden to take any action against Muslims except for crimes observed. No investigation. That's our brilliant Homeland Security. I tell you why it's such a crime. Those people in Boston did not have to die. And their blood is on the hands of our Homeland Security. I will say that boldly. Because of this kind of foolishness, this kind of bizarre foolishness. That should have been stopped 2 years ago. They should have found the whole cell. They should have known where they were in the first place. What kind of madness is this in our government? But guess what? I'm not just criticizing our government. We're the government. They work for us. We've let this happen. We put people up there who do this kind of thing. Kamal Saleem, who we've had here a few times, was sent here to help mobilize and organize all the cells, or many of the cells that were in America. Guess what? They're all waiting. You know what this was in Boston? Just a test. How do we react? And they found out really quickly, just two people can shut down a whole major city. Right now, the way we're acting, we could easily be shut down as a nation in a lockdown. These bombs were not the work of novices. They found out, it was in the news this morning, just the trigger mechanisms were so sophisticated, these came from top-level professionals. Now, I wouldn't expect more to happen right away. It could, but they are so patient the way it could be a year or two. But back when we're so complacent again, they could hit every single major sporting event at once in a major way. This was just a test. These guys had professional training. They now know they were a part of a much larger cell. These two had the intent of just slipping back into society. We'd have never known who they were if those pictures hadn't been caught. I think that was the grace of God. It sure wasn't the competence of our Homeland Security. But in due time, you can expect a systematic attack on large gatherings in America. And our FBI, our CIA, our Homeland Security have had their hands tied in dealing with this. It's either the greatest incompetence I think there has ever been in history, or it is treason. It is one or the other. And I agree, most people think it is treason now. And I accept the fact there is a huge amount of evidence that this is being done to us intentionally. I personally haven't crossed that line yet. I'm like 49% thinking it's just crazy, it's incompetence, or 51%, but I'm 49%. The evidence is becoming overwhelming. This is being done to us purposely. No doubt the Islamists are doing it to us purposely, but whether our president and the top people really understand how they're being duped and how they're being used, how foolish this stuff is coming out of our own Homeland Security, it's still debatable, but it doesn't matter why it's happening. It is happening. It has to be stopped. Somebody's got to speak out. Somebody's got to address this. Guess what? It is against U.S. federal law. They should go to prison if it's incompetence. There is a U.S. federal law. You don't take a position. You don't take that oath of office to do a job you're not competent to do. So regardless of their motives, they should all go to prison. And I'm serious, by U.S. federal law. You know what will probably happen? I'll probably go to prison for this sermon. Guess what? I don't care. I will do my best to preach from prison or whatever else happens. I am not the least bit afraid of that. I'll tell you what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of standing before the King of Kings on that judgment day, and here you are, watchman who did not sound the alarm. You were shepherd who did not protect my sheep. That's what I fear. That's the way I live. That's the only fear I have. And if we have that fear, we don't have to fear anything else. If we would have the pure and the holy fear of God, we don't have to fear anything else on this earth. only thing I know, I'm going to sound the alarm as loud as I can. Now, how do we respond? We can't let them shut us down. Now, I can understand shutting down a neighborhood when there are known terrorists loosed and there's bullets flying everywhere. It's time for lockdown. But the overreaction here, which, trust me, the terrorists noted, they shut down a whole major city. They put chains on every airport. The reaction everywhere. Little bit of fear. It just about shut us all down. They're watching. They can easily shut down this country and many others. They know that with just a little bit, a few people, a handful. Two people shut down a major American city. We cannot live by fear. The devil controls through fear. We've got to resolve. We, Christians, are not going to live by fear. We're going to live by faith. The worst thing that could ever happen to us is we get killed. And we go to be with the Lord. And it gets better, much better than this life. I mean, why are we afraid of anything? Certainly not death. Fear is not a fruit of the Spirit, and the devil will never lead us through fear. You got that? So if fear is controlling us, it is our Lord instead of the Holy Spirit, instead of Jesus. The most dangerous place we can ever be is not to be in the will of God. And fear is never going to lead us to the will of God. It is not a fruit of the Spirit. The safest place we can ever be is in the Lord's will. So we're not going to live by fear. We're going to live by faith. But those who have sworn the oath of office to defend us, to defend the Constitution from enemies, both foreign and domestic, have a responsibility to be competent. They have a responsibility to do their job. They have not done their job. Now, I believe there's place for repentance. We believe in grace. We believe in mercy. If they acknowledge their sin, I'm going to trust them. If they don't, I am not going to trust them. If they're clear about we have failed, this should not have happened in Boston. And all these other attacks that are imminent should not be happening. If at the best case it was incompetence. But our law enforcement, defense forces need competence training, not sensitivity training. I think the police forces did a great job after the attack, but they shouldn't have had to do that job. We're more vulnerable to such attacks than ever. We got lulled into a false sense of security. The sensitivity training prevented the removal of an army officer like Nidal Hassan after saying that attacks and killing American troops in Iraq was justified. He said this to other officers in a seminar. I've got a copy of his whole teaching, his PowerPoint that he used for that presentation. It's unbelievable. But you know what? Because of the sensitivity training, two officers spoke out and said, man, there's something really wrong with this guy. They got shut down. They got threatened. You want to lose your career? We got to be sensitive. Well, a whole lot of our soldiers who lay their lives on the line every day for us, or any day, they're always ready. They died in what should have been the safest place of all for them, their own fort in their own country. Our chief of staff at the time, you know what he said? This is one of the most shocking statements I've ever heard from an American, and I think most shameful statements I've ever heard from an American military officer. He said, I am more concerned that a diversity has been wounded while his own soldiers are lying dead all over their own fort in their own place. And what are they, What does our attorney general, what does our Justice Department say this was? Workplace violence. And go on with more sensitivity training. They should have caught that guy and thrown him out of the Army years before he got to that place. That should have never happened. The blood of those soldiers are on the hands of those who have started this sensitivity training by these people in our own military and in our own FBI and CIA. The blood is on their hands. The blood of others that get killed will be on their hands. They have chosen, at best, incompetence and foolishness in a bizarre level. Workplace violence. Now, another good Christian subject, gun control. One thing I think you can be absolutely sure, reason. I hope we're appealing to some reason here and starting to address reason and be resolved to live by, you know, basic reason. But I think we could say reasonably that every single person in that lockdown in Watertown, where those known terrorists were in their neighborhood, over 200 shots had already been fired. I think they were there thinking one of three things is for sure about these people in that lockdown. Either they were very glad they had a gun to protect themselves and their families. They were wishing they did, or they're lying about it. One of those three things. Back up a little bit, Fast and Furious. The most bizarre program I've ever heard of in my life. I mean, it really can't get crazier than this. We have U.S. government given some of the most dangerous weapons there are out there, short of being weapons of mass destruction, giving them to known drug lords, violent criminals, and terrorists. We gave them those weapons with the intent, supposedly the stated intent, that we are going to track these weapons, but have absolutely no provision for tracking them. Does that sound like competence, or? Yet, they want to come and take our guns, giving them to the worst people you can imagine who are coming over our borders with them, already killed some of our people with them, but take our guns so we can't protect ourselves. That isn't going to happen. That isn't going to happen. And we've known that for a long time. One of the things that's going to spark another American revolution, and I pray it's not a violent revolution. Doesn't have to be. But there's going to be a change. There's going to be radical change coming. One of the things that would spark it, the Lord showed us, I think, clearly years ago, would be when they came to get the guns. It will spark that. Think about this. You know, during the height of the Iraq War, our U.S. military, I think, was using 7 million bullets over 3 months. Now, that includes training, everything, not just in Iraq, but all together, 7 million bullets every 3 months. Why did our Homeland Security, this is not the Defense Department, it's not the Army, the military, but Homeland Security purchased 1.6 billion bullets. They've admitted to that. What are they going to do with them? They can't do that much training. Think of our military used 7 million over 3 months. They're talking about 1.6 billion. What is going on? Somebody needs to ask these questions. Somebody needs to get answers to these questions. Why? Many think, well, they said if they couldn't get our guns, they would just take bullets away from us, buy up all the bullets so nobody could get them, and that seems to have been effective so far. But I think we've got to wake up. Remember, we're still in a republic. We are still a republic. It is hanging on the edge, but right now we're the ones in charge. If this goes on, we let it go on. Now, if you have a problem with Christians using guns, go to Romans 12. And there was a place, there's a scripture where Jesus said, go sell your cloak, buy a sword. That was a military weapon. We need to understand the times for both. For not, you know, don't live by the sword, you'll die by it. There's another time, you better sell your whatever you got and buy a sword. Sword was their military weapons at that time. And he says clearly there in Romans 2 that civil governments, if they do not use the sword to avenge evil, they are rebelling against God. They're not fulfilling their purpose. Now, I'm not saying Christian. I'm not saying we rise up. You know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We have far more powerful weapons. We have the weapons of truth. But if you're in a civil position, if you're in the military, or you're in the police force, whatever, you have to use that weapon, that sword, that gun, or whatever, or you are being disobedient. Because while you're on that job, you are under that mantle of authority, and that is from God as well. And we don't want to wound people. We want to see them saved. But I tell you, I believe coming up, we're not going to be talking about 3 people killed and a few hundred terribly maimed. It's going to get much, much worse if we don't wake up to what's been done to us and what is being done to us right now. And we're called to be the light that shines into the darkness. We have to address these things. We have to be watchmen if we are watchmen, and we have to sound the alarm. We're in increasing jeopardy. This illuminates a whole lot that we need to have illuminated right now. And listen, I understand how things happen. I understand they can wear you out with the IRS. They can get to you in all kinds of other ways. I pray, you know, if I've done my job as a Christian leader, whatever happens to me, you're not going to miss a beat. You're going to keep right on going. You're not going to let fear dictate what you do. You're going to let your faith in God and your responsibility with the truth that you've been entrusted with. I hope thousands of voices rise up. They can put me in a dark. I don't care. Doesn't matter. I fear other things worse than that. I'll just have a great time with the Lord. Don't you? But listen, we've got to stand up. We've got to stand for the truth. And I also believe if people repent, they acknowledge these things. We have been stupid. And they start turning. I'm good with that. I'm good. Okay, you put us in jeopardy. And even though their blood is on your hands, Jesus can forgive that. The cross, they're not beyond the power of the cross. But if you don't repent, you don't change soon, you got to be out of here. We got to get somebody in there that can do this job, that will do what they took an oath to do. The number one job of our government is the defense of its people and defending the Constitution from enemies, both foreign and domestic. Thank you.
It's amazing to hear what General Jerry Boykin is speaking about, as he was reportedly head of foreign affairs for the CIA for 3 years and these other positions there. But as a perspective, remember, we are keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T. We want to look at what God's word says about it. And obviously, you know, Rick is bringing that in. But we have to understand quite often in America today, there's no grid for the reality of who God is. Mm. But when you look at Ezekiel chapter 33, he specifically tells us, when you read it, he says, the word of the Lord came to me, speaking to this prophet, which a prophet is somebody who's hearing from God, and they're writing it down or whatever to let people know. And he says, son of man, speak to your countrymen and say to them, when I bring the sword against a land. This is God saying, when I bring a sword against the land. So this thing is not going to be won through some sort of, you know, political maneuvering and that type of thing. It's going to be won through repentance. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to get right with God. Then God gives us wisdom and humility that helps us do what's right at that particular time. He says, this is what I want you to tell them. When I bring the sword against the land and the people of the land choose one of their men and make him their watchman. And he sees the sword coming against the land and blows the trumpet to warn the people. Then if anyone hears the trumpet but does not take warning, and the sword comes and takes his life, his blood is on his own head. You have to understand, this is what he's saying. And we feel like that's what Rick Joyner's doing. That's what so many are doing. And that's what we're doing. We're warning you. Understand that we have to warn you. Mm-hmm. We're held accountable. That's why he's saying, listen, whatever happens, happens. But you know, the worst thing that can happen to us is, you know, be with God forever in glory in his glorious presence. You know what I'm saying? Right. And if you are working for the Lord to for this life to end, it's like, oh, wow. Oh, my goodness. You right. know, right? Right. Oh. And so in that, so we have to warn. We can't just say, well, that's not pretty. That's not nice. That's not going to help with church growth procedures. Understand, this thing is taking place. And what he was reporting, and you can hear if you missed it, was that there's coming a time when there's going to be bombings of large gatherings in America. And this thing was just a test, and it was done through cells. And he's reportingly saying that there are terrorist cells all over America. We no longer track them anymore. It's against the sensitivity training that's being given. Although you can call a Christian who believes in the second coming of Christ, you know, somebody that needs to be on the watch list,
yeah,
you can't call a Muslim who has terrorist connections or the CARE, right, you know, Organization of American and Islamic Relations, that they are partnering with the Muslim Brotherhood and these different things. And so, but we have to do that. And see, it goes on to say this in regards to Ezekiel. He says, since he heard the sound, this is the person. In other words, you warn the person, you tell them what's coming, and now it's just up to them. And that's our responsibility. That's your responsibility. Just let people know. And if you're right with God, there's nothing to worry about. But if you say you're right with God and you know this and you say nothing, there's something to worry about, because he says this. Since he heard the sound of the trumpet, which is your voice, by the way. Don't go around blowing a trumpet. It's your voice.
Right.
But they do not take warning. His blood is on his own head. If he had taken warning, he would have saved his life. And that's all we have to do, is just take warning. Listen to what God is saying. Take warning. Well, what do we do? How do we do? I know you probably haven't heard this in some time. It's called repent.
Yeah.
It's called leave our life of sin. It's turn away from all these idols and turn back to God. And then he says in verse 6, he says, but if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet to warn the people, and the sword comes and takes the life of one of them, that man will be taken because of his own sin. In other words, he's going to suffer because of his own sin. But because you didn't tell them, but because you didn't warn them, he says, I will hold the watchman accountable for his blood. You see what I'm saying? So you have to actually tell people what God is telling you. Don't you love those prophets? Like, yeah, I was going to tell you that last week, but now that it's all come to pass, I was like, I don't hear that.
Yeah, right.
I don't want to hear that. It's like speeding down the road, you know, and then somebody says, did you see the speed limit sign? Where? 5 miles back?
Right.
You should have told me what the speed limit was back then. And he says, and it goes on, son of man, I have made you a watchman for this house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, oh, wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade him from his ways, that wicked man will die for his sins, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the wicked man to turn away from his ways, and he does not do so, he will die for his sins, but you will have saved yourself. So I just want to encourage you, as you're hearing these warnings, understand God's perspective is, and if you haven't yet gone to the torch, go to vfntv.com and click on the torch and click on prophecies and begin to hear. We've been shouting prophecies is what God is telling us. We're making known to you, but it's for you to read and believe and see. All we have to do is turn back to God. If my people who are called by my name, understand, he said, when I fashion a storm, a sword, when I bring locusts in, when I send plagues in, that's God. He's allowing it to happen. No matter what your theology is, that's what the word of God says. And understand, consider hardship as discipline. God's treating you as a son. Turn back to him so that we don't suffer eternal consequences. If you've been listening to VFN Radio, We've been talking about these things, and we're trying to rediscover, you know, America again. We're trying to rediscover the original intent of America, the original intent of the church. Mm-hmm. And if we don't rediscover these things, we won't have either one of them. God's kingdom will go on, but the thing that we perceive as the church, we could actually be in bondage and captivity, but we won't know until we actually research that and find out what the original intent is and seek the Lord. And we're finding out that I think it's really written well, the perspective that God gave Rick Joyner in the vision of the call, and it showed many of the church in prisons. They're just in prisons, mm-hmm. which is captivity. I mean, obviously it's not in a prison yet. And and how blinded we are, that we don't even see that's where we are, mm-hmm. and that we're called to go into all the world, but to step outside this prison, is there's gatekeepers and there's people who fire things at people who begin to get a vision for outside the prison. Mm-hmm. And to get outside of this prison, because when people begin to see, they get vision, they can see and get hopeful and start realizing the God of the Bible is the God of today, then those who try to keep people confined because they themselves are held captive by the adversary to do his will, they will begin to attack a seer, somebody who can see. They'll begin to attack that person. Don't take it personal. Realize that they are people held captive by the adversary. They don't realize, you know, there'll be a day. This is what Jesus said. There'll be a day that people kill you and think that they're doing him a favor.
Right.
They're not, but that's what they think. And so just move on beyond that. Quit looking for man's approval. Be more concerned about God's approval. You know, John Bevere writes in his book, The Fear of the Lord, you know, you serve what you fear. If you fear right. man, you serve man. If you fear God, you serve God. You cannot fear man and serve God because you serve what you fear.
Yeah.
And so many people have a fear of man. It's what's so interesting is you have, you know, this one man or woman who fears man, and they fear this one man or this one woman, but yet that one man or woman also fears man in their fear. And so it's like, everybody's fearing everybody. It's like, how about fearing God here?
Hello.
How about serving the God of the Bible?
Right.
How about making Jesus the Lord of your life again? Because mm-hmm. what we just heard in the first hour is we got to have a great awakening of the church. Oh, sleeper, wake up. You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends.